The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 4, verses 5 to 30, where the print is in bold, we'll read those together. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, before we talk about that, a few minutes ago, we read a great question in our Old Testament lesson from Exodus 17. Maybe you've asked this question before. Is the Lord among us or not? Will he help me or not? I've asked those questions. Here's the short version of a long story. In my early 30s, I quit my job and went to work for a former boss who'd started a small company. The company didn't make it, so I was out of a job. Marta was pregnant, and I was scared and depressed and ashamed of the stupid decisions I'd made that got us into that situation. And filled with doubt, I agonized. Is God among us? Will he help me? My concern was that because this was my fault, I'd have to pay the consequences of my stupidity. Maybe God just helps those who deserve his help, I thought. And I don't. So here in our Old Testament lesson from Exodus 17, we have the children of Israel who followed Moses and escaped from slavery in Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land, the land God had promised Abraham 600 years earlier. They stopped and camped in a desolate place where they had no water, and they were exhausted and scared. And in their doubt, they asked, "Is the Lord among us or not? Will he help us? There's no water." The interesting thing is this. These same people had watched an incredible series of miracles from God. The Passover, God parting the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. When they had no food, they saw God provide bread from heaven. But despite miracle after miracle after miracle, when faced with adversity, the Israelites were still filled with doubt and fear. Yet again, God provided what they needed. Water from a rock. And in my own life, when I was afraid and doubting, when I was certain that God was punishing me for my stupidity, God also provided for my family. Miraculously. A lot like he did for the Israelites. When my employer's business failed, a series of temporary jobs just appeared. We always had just enough income. In fact, I remember one time when the month was longer than the money, I sent off a check to pay our mortgage, even though there weren't adequate funds in our bank account to cover the check. I didn't know what else to do. The same day I mailed the check, we received a check, a completely unexpected check, payable to us, that far more than covered what we needed for the mortgage. There was always evidence of God's presence and care for us, evidence that the Lord was among us, helping us. And yet, throughout this period, I still wrestled with doubt. So if the ancient Israelites and people like us still wrestle with doubt, even when God's presence is evident, what about when God's presence is not so evident? When our prayers are not answered? When you and I and the Israelites ask the question, "Is God with me or not?" we usually look at how we feel for an answer. So if you feel sad or depressed or discouraged, then you conclude, "God is not helping me. If God were with me and helping me, I'd feel great. Wouldn't I?" Well, I don't know. Are our feelings the barometer of God's presence and help? Or maybe you feel shame if you've made a stupid career decision, or you divorced your spouse without good reason, or you drink too much, or you smoke like a chimney, or you've committed a crime and now you're suffering, and you ask, "Is God with me?" Maybe you conclude, "No. God would only be with me, helping me, if I deserved his help." Right? Well, do any of us actually deserve God's help? Or does he help us who don't deserve it out of his compassionate mercy? Who does God help? In our gospel lesson, We read one of the strangest interactions in the New Testament. Jesus and this Samaritan woman. It's strange because Samaritans and Jews hated each other. The Samaritans were descendants of Jews from the northern kingdom of Israel who had intermarried with the conquering Assyrians. So they were neither Jew nor Assyrian, and they practiced a religion that the Jews, the real Jews, abhorred. Jews were prohibited from marrying Samaritans or even eating or socializing with Samaritans. So when Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for a drink, it was shocking. The fact that it was a Jewish man talking to her would raise eyebrows even further. There is something, though, amiss with this Samaritan woman. She showed up in the middle of the day to draw water. No one drew water in the heat of the day. They drew water early or late. The fact that she was there in the middle of the day indicated that she was an outcast. And the reason why she was rejected by her own people soon became apparent. She was a promiscuous woman in a small village, known and scorned by everyone. Surely the object of taunts and sneers and indecent propositions. I was drawn to this painting of her, this image with two faces that you can see if you look closely. The public face she turns toward Jesus, that's the face that she shows to others. It's a facade, really. And then there's the face turned downward, the face of shame and struggle and rejection and sadness and pain. That's her real face, the face she tried to keep hidden. Jesus saw both faces and did not condemn her. In fact, though she was rejected by her community, Jesus welcomed her. Though she was scorned by her neighbors, Jesus honored her by including her among those to whom he revealed himself as the Messiah. You know, I heard a fascinating interview with a pastor and ethics professor from England named Sam Alberry recently. Pastor Alberry is a celibate man afflicted with what he calls same-sex attraction. He's written a number of books, but recently wrote a very personal book entitled, Is God Anti-Gay? Here's why I mention him. Pastor Alberry points out that all of us have proclivities towards sin. That's not a sign of how God made us, but it's a sign of how sin has distorted us. I'm afflicted with this condition called sin. Therefore, I sin. So just like the Samaritan woman, the message of Christ to you is not to condemn your particular sinful behaviors, but rather to proclaim forgiveness to you and call you to repentance. So that question from Exodus 17, is the Lord among us or not? Or the follow-up question, will he help us even if we don't deserve it? The answer is yes. He's with you, you who are afflicted with sin. And he helps you, you who struggle with doubt. And he has mercy on all of us who don't deserve his mercy. Whether you sense his presence or not, he's with you you who are sad or depressed or discouraged. He's with you who are sick. He's with you who are afraid. Despite your circumstances or your fears, he will never leave you or forsake you. And for you who are filled with shame, for you battling against secret sin, Jesus has not ceased to forgive you. He has not given up on you, nor will he ever. For you who are scorned and rejected, for you who have failed, for you who identify with the woman at the well, there is coming a day when you will rejoice in your suffering. Because God will have taken what is hideous and painful in your life and somehow, some way, used it for good. Is the Lord among us? Absolutely. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so many of us, maybe all of us, have two faces. The face we're willing to display publicly, and then our real face, which sometimes exposes shame and guilt or anger or fear or sadness. Lord, you see both our faces and do not condemn us, but forgive us, and you call us to repentance. Help us to hear you and respond. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.